Hey everyone, welcome back.
Today, we're going to try something a little different. We're going to do a deep dive on 13C NMR spectroscopy.
Sounds good.
So, have you ever heard of that?
I have.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, basically, it's this technique that chemists and other scientists can use to figure out what a molecule looks like.
Right.
And we're going to be using a section from an organic chemistry textbook to help us understand this.
So hopefully, even if you've never taken organic chemistry, you'll still be able to follow along. What
Okay.
do you think about that?
Well, I like it.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So 13C NMR spectroscopy, it's pretty wild because basically it's like using sound to see, right? You're not actually looking at the molecule. You're using this magnet and these radio waves to figure out what a molecule looks like.
Yeah, so it's kind of like instead of having a visual representation of the molecule, you're using sound.
Or frequencies to visualize it.
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it.
And what's really cool is that each carbon atom will resonate at a different frequency.
And so we can kind of think of each of the carbons within a molecule as having their own unique voice.
That's so cool. So it's like each molecule has its own song or like its own melody
Yeah.
made up of the little voices of each of the carbons.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
So in our source, they talk about this idea called one signal, one carbon. But it's not always as straightforward as that,
Yeah,
right?
so one signal, one carbon is a good generalization.
Okay.
But like most things in chemistry, there are some exceptions to the rule.
And one of the big exceptions that comes up a lot is symmetry. So if
Okay.
you have a symmetrical molecule,
Uh-huh.
you'll actually get fewer signals than you have carbons.
Okay, so like our source mentions pentane.
Right.
Pentane has five carbons, so you might expect five signals,
But it only gives three.
but you only see three.
Right.
So that's
Well,
because
that's because of the symmetry.
some of those carbons are.
Some of those carbons are in identical environments.
Yeah.
Chemically speaking, they're the same.
So it's like they're all singing the same note and you can't
Right.
tell them apart.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's wild. And then they also talk about 2-methylbutane.
Yeah. 2-methylbutane, which has a slightly different structure,
Yeah.
only gives four signals.
That's crazy. Okay, so we can tell how many unique carbons there are by how many signals
Right.
we see,
Exactly.
but that's not all the information that we get from an NMR spectrum,
Right.
right?
So one of the other really important pieces of information is where those signals show up.
Okay.
And the position of the signal is called the chemical shift.
Okay, chemical shift. So is that kind of like how high or low the note is for each carbon?
That's a good way to think about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can think about it as each of the carbons resonating at a slightly different frequency. And so if a carbon is in an electron-rich environment,
Yeah.
it's going to have a different chemical shift than a carbon that's in an electron-poor environment.
So, like, if it's surrounded by lots of atoms that are kind of electron hungry,
Exactly.
it might have a different signal than if it's surrounded by
Yeah.
atoms that are electron rich
And one of the big things that contributes to that?
is electronegativity.
Electronegativity. I remember that
Yeah.
from chemistry.
So electronegativity is a measure of how strongly an atom attracts electrons. So if you have a carbon that's attached to
Yeah.
an oxygen,
Right.
oxygen is very electronegative,
Yeah.
so it's going to pull electron density away from the carbon, and that's going to change the chemical shift of that carbon.
Okay, so it's like electronegativity is kind of like the tuning knob.
Yeah.
It changes where that signal shows up.
Yeah.
So the source gives us a really good example, which is 2-pentanol.
Right, so 2-pentanol has a carbon that's attached to an oxygen, and that carbon shows up
Okay.
at a much higher chemical shift.
So it's like it's singing a really high
Yeah,
note
exactly.
compared to the other carbons that are not directly attached to the oxygen. I see. Okay, this is really cool.
Yeah.
I'm starting to understand this now.
But this seems like a lot of information.
Right.
So, how do scientists actually decode all of this?
Well, there's this really handy tool,
Called a chemical shift chart.
a chemical shift chart. What is
It's,
that?
yeah, it's kind of like a decoder ring.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. So this
Tell me more
chart's,
about this decoder ring.
yeah, this chart has different regions. And it tells you, based on the chemical shift,
Okay.
what type of environment that carbon is likely to be in.
Okay.
So for example, it'll tell you whether a carbon is
Okay.
part of an alkane.
Okay.
Or if it's attached to an oxygen or a halogen,
I see.
or if it's part of an aromatic ring.
Wow.
So it gives you a lot of information just based on the chemical
So
shift.
if I see a signal at a particular frequency.
Mm-hmm.
I could look it up in my chart and be like, oh, this carbene must be hanging out next to an oxygen.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's so cool. So it's like having a map of the molecule.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So we've got all these tools now.
Mm-hmm.
We know how to look at an NMR spectrum. We know how to count the signals.
Right.
We know how to use a chemical shift chart.
Right.
Now, how do we actually use all of this information to figure out what a molecule looks like?
It's kind of like a puzzle.
Uh-huh.
And our source actually gives us a three-step process for solving these puzzles.
Okay, I like puzzles.
Let's hear it.
All right, so step one is to count the signals.
Okay, we talked about that.
And that tells you how many unique carbons you have.
Uh-huh.
And then step two is to look at the chemical shifts and match those up with the chemical shift chart.
Okay, so we're gathering clues like a detective.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. And then what's the final step?
And then the final step is to propose a structure that fits all of the data.
Oh, so this is exciting. We're going to be molecular detectives. I love it. Do you have a mystery for us to solve?
As a matter of fact, I do.
Okay.
Our source has some practice problems.
Okay.
And we can use one of those to try and solve a molecular structure.
All right. I'm right. Hit me with it.
Okay. So we have a molecule with the formula C5H10O.
Okay.
And its 13C NMR spectrum shows four distinct signals.
Okay.
They're located at roughly 7.
Okay.
23.
Uh-huh.
32.
Okay.
And 72 ppm.
7, 23, 32, and 72.
Right.
Okay.
So what do you think?
Hmm. So four signals means we've got four unique carbons.
Mm-hmm.
And then that oxygen in the formula, that's probably going to be important.
That's a good observation. Yeah.
Oxygen is very electronegative, like we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if that's going to affect where some of those signals show up.
It very well could.
Okay. So I'm going to need to pull up my chemical shift chart.
Okay.
And see if I can match any of those signals to any particular
types of carbon environments.
Sounds good.
Okay. I'll be right back.
All right. I think I found something. So that 72, that seems really high.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at my chart, that's right where you would expect a carbon that's directly attached to an oxygen.
You got it.
Okay, so one of our carbons
is definitely attached to that oxygen atom.
Excellent work.
What about those other signals?
So what about those other signals?
We've got 23
mm-hmm.
and 32.
Right.
My chart says those are pretty typical for carbons that are just part of like an alkane chain.
Mm-hmm.
Like you might find in a fuel or something.
Yeah.
And then there's that 7
yeah.
that seems really low.
Right.
Looking at my chart, that looks like it could be a methyl group.
Yeah.
Just a carbon with three hydrogens on it.
You're on a roll.
Okay. So we've got one carbon bound to oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
We've got two that are probably part of an alkane chain.
Right.
And we've got a methyl group.
But how do we put all those pieces together?
So how do we put all those pieces together?
Let's see. We have five carbons total, right?
Mm-hmm.
C5H10O.
Right.
We've already used one for the oxygen connection.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves us with four carbons to arrange,
right.
including that methyl group.
What if we connect those two alkane carbons
okay.
together? So we've got a chain of three,
mm-hmm.
and then we stick the methyl group on one of them.
Okay, I like where you're going with this.
So now we have a three-carbon chain with a methyl branch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where does that oxygen-bearing carbon go?
That's the million-dollar question.
Well, we could put it at the end of the chain, but then the oxygen would kind of be dangling out there.
Right.
That doesn't seem quite right.
Doesn't seem very happy.
Yeah.
What if we put it in the middle?
Ooh. In the middle of the three-carbon chain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not at the end.
Right, I see.
Because it's got a carbon on either side.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That would fit the chemical shift data.
Right.
Right, because that 72?
That 72 makes a lot of sense if that carbon is next to...
Is in between two other carbons?
Two other carbons, yeah.
Then we've got the two alkane carbons explaining the 23 and the 33.
And then we've got the methyl group.
Right.
Way down at 7.
Oh, wait a minute.
I think I know what this molecule is.
What is it?
It's 3-methyl-2-butanol.
You got it.
I solved it.
You solved the mystery.
That's so cool. So we just used 13C NMR spectroscopy
mm-hmm.
to figure out the structure of a molecule.
We did.
And we did it all just by listening to the songs of those carbons.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing when you think about it.
That is really amazing. It's like putting together a puzzle and seeing that final picture emerge.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
It's really satisfying.
It is really satisfying. And to think, this is just one example of how 13C NMR spectroscopy is used in the real world.
I'm curious to hear more about these real world applications.
Yeah, earlier we were talking about how pentane is a component of gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
Well, scientists use 13C NMR to actually analyze gasoline
right.
and other fuels.
To make sure they meet quality standards.
To make sure that they're good quality
yeah.
and that they're going to work properly.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
And it's not just simple molecules like that. It's mm-hmm. also used
right.
to study really complex molecules.
Yeah. So this is used to study proteins.
Wow.
DNA.
Uh-huh.
All sorts of complex biological molecules.
That's so cool. So it's helping us to understand the building blocks of life.
Exactly.
I see.
And it's not just about understanding the molecules themselves.
It's also about understanding how they behave
uh-huh.
and how they interact with each other.
Okay. So what are some other ways that this technique is being used out there in the world?
Well, one of the really exciting applications
mm-hmm.
is in the field of medicine.
Okay.
So researchers can use 13C NMR to develop new drugs.
Wow.
And understand how those drugs interact with the body.
So it's helping us to create new treatments.
Exactly.
For diseases.
And it can also be used to diagnose certain diseases.
Oh, wow. How does that work?
Yeah. So by analyzing
uh-huh.
the molecules that are present in body fluids,
okay.
You can sometimes detect the presence of certain diseases.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So from the fuel in our cars
mm-hmm.
to the medicines that we take,
right.
13C NMR is secretly at work all around us.
Yeah, it's kind of a hidden hero.
It really is. It's like a reminder that even these complex scientific techniques
mm-hmm.
can have a huge impact on our everyday lives.
They're not just abstract ideas. They actually have
yeah.
real-world applications.
It's not just happening in a lab somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's affecting the yeah. way we live.
It really highlights the interconnectedness of science in everyday life.
Yeah, I love that.
So before we wrap up our deep dive on 13C NMR spectroscopy, I want to leave you with one final thought.
Okay.
To ponder.
I'm all ears.
I'm ready for that final thought.
Okay, so we've been talking about 13C NMR,
uh-huh.
which specifically looks at the carbon atoms in a molecule.
Right.
But what's really cool is that this is just one type of NMR spectroscopy.
Whoa.
There's a whole family of NMR techniques.
That scientists can use to study different atoms.
Wow. So it's not just carbon we can look at.
No, not just carbon.
Okay.
So, for example, there's proton NMR.
Proton NMR.
Which looks at the hydrogen atoms in a molecule.
Okay.
There's fluorine NMR.
Uh-huh.
Phosphorus NMR. Silicon NMR.
So it's like having all these different
pairs of glasses that let us see
right.
different parts of the molecule.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like having a different set of molecular microphones.
That are tuned to different frequencies.
Ooh, I like that analogy.
Okay, so we can listen to the carbons.
Mm.
We can listen to the hydrogens.
Right.
We can listen to
the fluorines.
All sorts of atoms.
All sorts of different atoms, yeah.
That's incredible.
And these techniques are constantly evolving.
Uh-huh.
Scientists are always coming up with new ways to use NMR.
To study increasingly complex systems.
So what's next for NMR?
What does the future hold?
Well, one of the really exciting areas of research is in the field of material science.
Okay.
So scientists are using NMR to study
mm-hmm.
new materials like polymers and nanomaterials.
And why is that important?
Well, understanding the structure of these materials
oh.
can help us to design
mm.
new materials with improved properties.
So like stronger materials.
So stronger materials.
Lighter materials.
Lighter materials, more durable materials.
More efficient materials.
Exactly.
That's incredible.
And another really exciting area of research is in the field of medicine.
Oh, medicine. We were talking about that before.
Yeah. So 13C NMR.
Mm-hmm.
And other types of NMR are being used to study
okay.
the metabolism of cells.
Okay.
And how cells respond to different drugs.
So it's helping us to understand how our bodies work.
Exactly.
At a really fundamental level.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. So what you're saying is that NMR is not just this niche technique that's used
by a few scientists in a lab somewhere.
It's not just a niche technique.
Yeah.
It's actually a really powerful tool.
That has applications across many different fields,
that's,
and it's helping us to make new discoveries all the time.
Wow. I never would have guessed that something like listening to the songs of atoms
mm-hmm.
could be so important.
It's pretty amazing when you think about it.
It really is.
It just goes to show you that even the smallest thing
could have a big impact.
And that science is always pushing the boundaries
of what's possible.
Exactly.
That's so cool.
So to wrap up our deep dive into 13C NMR spectroscopy,
okay.
I think the big takeaway is that this is an incredibly versatile technique.
That is helping us to understand the world around us in new and exciting ways.
I completely agree.
And who knows what amazing discoveries
are just around the corner.
Right.
Thanks to NMR.
Exactly. So are you ready for that final thought?
Yeah, definitely hit me with it.
Okay, so we've been talking about NMR on like a pretty small scale, you know?
Yeah, like looking at individual molecules.
Right, thinking about like the structure of a single molecule.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I think is really cool about NMR is that it can be used to study things on a much larger scale.
Okay, so not just individual molecules.
No, not just individual molecules. We can actually use NMR to study things like cells.
Wow. Like living cells.
Yeah, like living cells.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So
how does that even work?
Well, it's a little bit complicated.
Yeah, okay.
But essentially, you can use NMR to track the movement of molecules within a cell.
So it's like we're zooming out
right.
from looking at a single molecule
mm-hmm.
to looking at like a whole city of molecules.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like we're watching the traffic flow inside the cell.
That's wild. And what kind of information can we get from that?
Well, we can learn a lot about how cells function.
Uh-huh.
You know, how they communicate with each other.
Okay.
How they transport nutrients.
Yeah.
How they respond to changes in their environment.
Wow.
And this has all sorts of implications for things like
drug development and disease research.
So we can actually see how a drug is interacting with a cell.
Right.
In real time.
In real time. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
And it's not just cells.
We can also use NMR to study things like tissues and organs.
Wow. So we're talking about like whole body imaging?
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's incredible.
So NMR really is a powerful tool
uh-huh.
that has applications across many different scales.
Okay. So we've gone from looking at a single molecule to looking at a whole body.
Right.
That's pretty mind-blowing.
It's pretty amazing.
So what's the big takeaway from all of this?
I think the big takeaway is that NMR is a constantly evolving field.
There are always new discoveries being made
mm-hmm.
and new applications being developed.
And it's helping us to understand the world around us.
In ways that we never thought possible.
Exactly.
That's pretty inspiring.
It is.
Well, I think that's a great place to wrap up our deep dive on 13C NMR spectroscopy.
Sounds good.
We went from the very basics
mm-hmm.
all the way to these really cutting edge applications.
Yeah, I think we covered a lot of ground.
We did.
It's a good deep dive.
It was a great deep dive. I learned a lot.
Me too.
And I hope our listeners did too.
Hopefully.
So until next time, stay curious.
And keep exploring the world around you.
Well said.